when you come into a new job, you're going to submit to the rules of that new job. When you come in to start a family, you're going to submit to the rules of what that is. If you don't, none of those things are going to work for your benefit. None of them. If you come in to God's kingdom, you must submit to those things. And so we all came from somewhere. Where is he taking them from when we get to Deuteronomy? They're coming out of Egypt, and now he's setting the rules. Right? So understand that. Anytime you come in to something, when you come in, there's going to be some things that we have to know. So we're going to cover, go through this as much as we can. There's so much to talk about. You can pick, you know, any selection. But let me show you. Could you put those up, sister? Let's see. Just take your time with it. I'm gonna read just a couple sections here. Now, I want you to take a note of Mount Ebal and then Mount Gerizim, because those are the two places. And I got a photo. I was going to show you this photo if you could get it up there. But the photo basically shows on a map where this was and how it was set up. So it's the place is called Shechem, okay? So they come to the place of Shechem. Now, some say, I studied this out last year. I was going through this, and I remember going through that. So when we went through Torah portion this week, I remembered that study, that Shechem represented the area in which the Garden of Eden would have been. So how many of you know that there was also two things that happened there? When you come in to God's garden, you do it God's way. So when they get to the garden, what do they have? How many trees is in the middle of the garden? Two trees. One, the tree of knowledge of good and evil, and the other one, the tree of life. And they got to walk through the midst of the trees, and they got to make some decisions. All right? In Shechem, also, Abraham was called. I'm just giving you some history leading up to this. Abraham was called in Shechem. And the Lord said, Abraham, remember, he tells him, he says, take the animals and cut them in pieces. You make two rows. Make a row of the pieces of the animal. And what do you want? What do you walk through the middle? Right? Because there's decisions you got to make. When you come in, God's going to tell you how he wants it. So here's the children of Israel. They're going to go through the same thing. Because why? They delivered out of Egypt. You're taken out of Egypt. Now we're going to cut a covenant. This covenant is going to be cut. So it's the ceremony. It's known as the ceremony in Shechem. So it gives the text that we just went over. And so you're going to have Mount Ebal. You'll have that. That represents what? The curses. That's where all the curses are. And then the Mount Gerizim represents what? The blessings. And then what they did, he told them, certain part of the tribe was going to represent the ones for the blessing and a certain for the cursing. So let's do the blessings first. He said, Simon, Levi, Judah, Issachar, Joseph, and Benjamin, you get on Mount Gerizim. And then I want the elders and the priests. The elders and priests are going to take the Ark of the covenant of God. And what are they going to do? They're going to get right in the middle of the valley because it's a valley. Shechem is a valley. If you got a mountain on this side, and a mountain on this side is a valley. So you got Mount Ebal, the curse, Reuben, Gad, Asher, Zebulun, Dan, and Naphtali. So you have them on that side. And I want to just point this out to you. Scientists, because remember, we should be, if God tells us something in his word, we should be able to go out, if we can find that location and observe that, or we should be able to put it to a test. So I want you to picture this in your mind. You're going to have two mountains on each side, kind of with flat plateaus on top of these mountains, because that's exactly, I'm looking at the shot now, and it is a valley. There's actually a city going through Shechem right now. And when you position the people, and then when you speak, the sciences have went in there and said, why is this place recorded in Scripture? Because when they would speak, it was like a natural amphitheater. Because God's not going to chance somebody saying, well, I didn't hear what was said. So the scientists have went in there, and it was like loudspeakers were set up. It's like a natural, so you could do your own study, go look up the ceremony in Shechem, and which is S-H-E-C-H-E-M, and you'll find that the scientists have went out there, the archaeologists, and what happens is they see it as a natural amphitheater where the sound just carries so everybody can hear them. Because it was like, how's all these people going to hear what he's saying? They could hear it very clear. And so that was something that was important. Now, this natural amphitheater at Shechem, scientists have tested this natural amphitheater many times, and it works. So we have the town of Shechem, which is modern day Nablus. N-A-B-U-L-U-S. So if you look it up, you want to see a photo of it on your maps, look up N-A-B-U-L-U-S, and that's how you'll find it. It's 1 mile across. So think about this. We've got a mountain with the flat plateau on top, and it's 1 mile across from each mountain. Then it makes this valley. So this is a big area, 1 mile across. So that'll kind of give you some idea of what all of this is. And so that's the place where God says, okay, we're going to make a covenant. So what was the covenant with Adam and Eve? Same thing. This is what you can do. This is what you can't do. Abraham, make a decision. It's me. You're going to have to go all in. This is what you can do. This is what you can't do. Children of Israel, separate the tribes. Here we go again. All of it was a war. Now, after this is when we have the dispersion of the northern tribes and the southern tribe. Remember the north and the south? We divide up. That didn't take place till after they were given opportunity to stay all together. So I wanted to just point that out to you. That's our first reading. Now, let's go to the next part in Isaiah. Well, in Isaiah, I want to point out something to you, and you can write this down. I believe this will be a benefit for you, because I want to talk about what has not come to pass in this particular reading. It says this in Isaiah. Look at that Isaiah reading in 60, and it says this. Let's see, we could start with verse 19. All right? The whole chapter is incredible. But verse 19, the sun shall be no more. Your light by day. Okay. Now notice, now this is a big deal, because how many know not that has not happened yet? Well, if I say the sun shall be no more your light by day. Okay, that's something that's coming, and when he talks about that in Revelations. Nor for the brightness shall the moon give you light. Does the moon give light? It must. This is one of the verses I have for the other whole thing. See, you come across these, and when you're studying this, and you read Torah, bah, it all comes together. You know why? Because that's God's way. You know, man wants to fool around and pick out readings that fit their theology. What we did, we threw ourselves on the mercy of the Word of God and say, God, we're just going to take your Word, and what we got to change, that's what we'll change. Well, shouldn't that be the right way? Because remember, when you come in, he lays it out. This is why you get cursed, and this is how you stay blessed. And so it's important that we understand that. Listen, here, so we know that's the Old Testament. Well, nobody in here is going through Shechem. But in a sense, we go through Shechem. When he comes, he says, listen, no one can go to the Father but by me. How many understand that's clear? So can you get to God any other way? No. When you come in, you have to go through what? You have to go through Yeshua and what he paid for. Because he said, if anybody tries any other way, there were other ways. Because he talks about any other way, he's the same as a thief and a robber. Oh, you come in and see how all these things. So you can start it in the Genesis with Adam and Eve. You can come to Abraham. It's always putting it on each side. Come to the children of Israel. Puts it in the valley. And when it comes to you and I, there's a bunch of different ways. Or there's the ways of Yeshua. It's up to us. We still got to go through. That's why he said, straight is the gate, and narrow is the way that leads to life. Then he says what? Broad is the way, and there's a lot of people doing that, that leads to death and destruction. How many see the similarities? So we all have our time for Shechem, all of us. And so hopefully you understand that. These are important principles. So here we have this part. The moon, he says, for the brightness shall not, shall the moon give you light, nor the brightness shall the moon give you light. But Yahweh will be your everlasting light. Who's going to be our everlasting light? Yahweh. And your Elohim will be your glory. Notice that. What was the glory on Adam and Eve? Elohim. Are y'all getting this? It don't matter what we're doing. We could be doing Thursday night Bible study, Torah portion, Sundays. The Word of God is absolutely incredible. You just got to give yourself over to it. You got to avail yourself to the Word. He says, and your Elohim will be your glory. Your sun shall no more go down, nor your moon withdraw herself. For Yahweh will be your everlasting light, and your days of mourning shall be ended. How many thank God for that? That's a hallelujah moment right there. Your people shall be righteous, and they shall possess the land. What are we going to possess? What's the prophet say? We possess the land forever. How many thank God for that? And he goes on and talks about the branch of my planting and the work of my hands, that I might be glorified. Remember that. What does God want? The glory. And the least shall become a clan, just the least, a clan, meaning it's going to just be amazing. The smallest one, a mighty nation. I am Yahweh. In its time, I will hasten it. In its time, I will hasten it. And so hopefully you see that. Now, what is he talking about there? What is his reference? What is he making a reference of? Because he's making a reference to some time. Let's go to Revelations. Verse number 1 of 21. It says this, and I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from Elohim out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of Elohim is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and Yahweh himself shall be with them and be their Elohim. And Elohim shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying. Neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. And he that sat upon the throne said, behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, write these words. Write, for these words are true and faithful. And he said unto me, it is done. I am the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto thee, unto him that is athirst, the fountains of the water of life freely. I may see that. And so you can go on and just read all of this. Because I got to cover a lot more, I can read just some of it. But it says, "And having glory of Elohim, and her light was like unto the a stone most precious, even like jasper stone, clear as crystal." And it talks about the dimensions and so forth. But I just wanted to point this out to give you some other places to read, and so you'll go through this and see what he's talking about. And here's the last part that I'll read. "And I saw no temple therein, for Yahweh El Shaddai, and the Lamb are the temple of it." I might have to read that again. "And I saw no temple," verse 22, "therein, for Yahweh El Shaddai and the Lamb are the temple of it. And the city had no need of the sun, neither of the moon." Does anybody see any similarity to what I read in Isaiah? Now I'm reading it here. We're waiting for this. And this is the finale. You better wait. This is the finale. You ever go watch fireworks and they pop them all off? And everybody says, "Oh," and then you go, kind of let your guard down, and all of a sudden, do, 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 do. You know, you don't want to miss that part. Right? And I'm afraid that people's going to miss the finale. They don't, just crazy the way the mind will get trapped by the enemy. "So there'll be no need for the sun, neither the moon, to shine in it, for the glory of Elohim did lighten it." If we stop right there, we'll miss something. "And the Lamb is the light thereof." So how many see we got the glory of Elohim and the Lamb? Wow, isn't that something? I don't know how we just read over this stuff sometime and we miss it. So hopefully you finish reading that out. I just wanted to point that out to you so we can look at it together. All right, now, Matthew, the parable of the sower, when we look at that, we look at these wonderful things, but this one's pretty easy because he does what? He explains it. He says, "Hear the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it," how many know understanding the word of the kingdom is important? Because if you don't understand it, you're going to get yourself in trouble, because what happens? The evil one comes and snatches away what has been sown in his heart. This is what was sown along the path. "As for what was sown on rocky ground, this is the one who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy." So that's why you got to see, people can receive or hear what they might even clap. Hallelujah. They can have an emotional. They can receive joy as emotion. How many know that? How many understand joy to be an emotion? They received it with emotions. On all accounts, it looked like they were in it. Man, you seen something? They were leaning on the front of their seat. They said, "Amen, man." Don't be fooled by that. Right? And that's what moves it. See, the preacher can't be moved by that stuff. Because then he'll go home, pat himself on the back, and think he accomplished something. You know what? How I study? I study that this is my first day with you, and I want to get you to know as much as possible when it comes to the Word of God, because I may never get a chance to tell you again. So I want to make sure I covered everything I can so you can hear it and be so to be a common to you. So this is what he says. He says that it's sown and received with joy, yet he has no root in himself. See, he has no root in himself, but endures for a while. And when tribulation and persecution arise on account of the word, immediately he falls away. Now, I got to talk about that because that stuck out to me, because that's where we are. What's tribulation and persecution come from? On account of what? The word. See, we know what that type of persecution and tribulation is. You start doing something because the word said do it, and people say, "Man, I don't know about that. That's kind of pretty foolish." And you can't endure the persecution of the change because the word changed you. The word of God will bring change. How many understand that? Whatever you receive, he sows the seed. How many know he's sowing seed? All right, what is the seed? I'm going to say it again. He's sowing seed. What is the seed? Tribulation and persecution comes on account of the what? The word. And they can't, they get, well, I don't know what to do. You know, just, if I stay doing what I've been doing, nobody's going to really say anything. Nobody's going to really tell me anything. They're going to say something. It's flipped, right? So you can't see the bottom. So there's another one. They got like 7 or 8 on this site. And you'll see it. It's kind of positioned. There you go, right there. That's the one. That's the natural amphitheater. So if you want to write it down, www.bible.ca. If you want to look it up, look at it for yourself. Use it for your own study, but that's it. So how many understand when persecution arises on account of the word, immediately he falls away? As for the one that was sown among thorns, this is the one who hears the word, but the cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and it proves unfruitful. Now, what chokes the word? It's not the word that's a problem. What chokes the word? The cares of the world. The cares of the world. The Lord gave me something while I was going. I was doing a little side study while we was traveling. You can't really do a much side study because it don't take long to go from New Orleans to Houston in a plane. You know, they run through the thing. What do you want to drink? What do you want to drink? Then they turn around and say, give me your stuff. You got to drink it fast because it doesn't take long to go from New Orleans to Houston. And so, of course, we drove. After that, we were driving. So we had more time. We had, you know, what it was, 4 hours? A little over 3 hours? 3.5 hours drive. So we got where we were going. But anyway, so something came to me, and I was looking at that. And it goes along with Torah portion, because I was listening to Torah portion and going over. I was reading it on the plane, and then something came to me about that particular part. Now, I want you to get this, because this is important. Why is the when it's sown among thorns, this is the one who hears the word, but the cares of the world is something that comes from seeing the world as our source, or seeing God as our source. And it all boils down to Amalek. Amalek. Everybody say Amalek. The Amalekites were the first ones to attack the children of Israel when they left Egypt. So God put a curse on them. The Amalek is where we get the nations that are fighting today. Palestine. Amalek symbol is the all-seeing eye. Think about that. I'm just going to read again what it says. But the cares of this world. Amalek always says the world has the answer, or the world's right and God is wrong. That's why he puts you in the valley of Shechem. So you can decide. If you want to go on this side of the mountain, that's fine. If you go on this side, whatever you want. Notice that there's a choice. God could have got him out of that Egypt and said, okay, you're going to do things my way. Here's the deal. But he didn't. He said, you choose. But if you go that way, it's going to be some tough spot. That's the first one I was looking at. There you go. The ark is there, and it gives the list of names so you can see what I was talking about. All right. So how many understand the cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and it proves unfruitful? Now, choking the word means it's still growing, but it's choked up. What happens when you have a garden and you don't pour all of the stuff out? It starts to choke it up, and it don't bear the fruit that it could have if it had enough. If you'd have pulled the stuff from around it, more of the oxygen and the nutrients could have got to the plant you want, and that's going to bear more fruit. But it's saying here, because of that. So here's what happens. You can't have the system of the world that says they know everything. They're the light. And you can't, and you can go to God and say, well, praise the Lord. And how many of you know we see a lot of that right now? We see a lot of that where they're going, you know, just running wide open, and it's just overwhelmed and busied up with everything. But when it comes, I'll say a prayer. Don't want to let go of God completely. We can hang on to both of them. That's not what God says. When you come in, you got to decide. Right? You can't hold on to both. You can't have the wisdom of the world and the wisdom of God and think you can mingle them together. Because the fruit's what he's going to look for, and what's going to happen, the things of the world is going to choke up. It won't take. It might take a while, but it will choke up. And you won't get the results you want. So hopefully you see that. As for what was sown on good soil, this is the one who hears the word, understands it, he indeed bears fruit and yields in one case 100, in another 60, in another 30. So we got to make sure we balance this thing out and do the adjustments in our own life. That, listen, one person could maybe be busy doing things, but they have the strength and the ability to know when enough's enough, put the brakes on and dig in that word, and they're fine. Another person try to keep that same schedule and they won't even make it. That's why I can't tell you do what I do. You don't do what I do. You do what the Lord tells you. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. You got to look at it, and you got to set your life where you know, because you know you better than anybody, and you know when you're going to have more of a difficult time. You've seen it before. So what do? Don't do that. I don't care if 10 people in church is doing it. You can't do it. You understand? You can make sure that you do a custom week or day, whatever you want to structure it, but customize it. Because you know when you're having troubles with certain things. Some people, you just can't do it. The moment you start doing it, you're overwhelmed by it, and it takes over every part of your life. Right? You watch one movie, and then you want to watch the whole series when it started back in the 60s or whatever. Well, guess what? If you do that, you ain't got time to read. You ain't got time to do anything. I'm going to watch one game, and then you want to join the football fantasy. And then if you can, go by all means do that. But I don't. You know that. You know, when you start feeling, man, I'm feeling bad. That's what you stop. But you can't have it both ways. 100. You can't give 100% to the world and 100% to God. It's impossible. Right? Are we in this world? He said that. You are in this world, but not of this world. So we know we're in it, but we're not of this world. Why? We are heavenly beings through Christ by faith, which one day will become a reality when we rise again or we're changed. Until then, we're still under the assault of the enemy. So hopefully you've seen that. But these are some high points that I was going through. Excuse me. Well, the next one, very simple, right? We read the whole thing. In Luke 21:1-4, Yeshua looked up and saw a rich man putting their gifts in an offering box. And he saw a poor widow put the 2 small copper coins. And he said, truly I tell you, this poor widow has put in more than all of them. For they all contributed out of their abundance, but she, out of her poverty, put in all she had to live on. All she had to live on. She gave everything. So, did she, in the natural mind, or the natural, as we look at it naturally, did she give more? Well, no. They were rich. They knocked it out of the park. You know what? Let me ask you. What's more, $100 bill or 2 pennies? What's more? $100 bill or 2 pennies? Y'all think it's a trick question, but it's not. I'm not trying to trick you. I mean, I'm just laying it out there. $100 bill is more. There's no trick to that. That's a reality. But that's not what Yeshua wasn't focusing on, whether it was 100 or 2 pennies. What he was focused on, he knew that what she put in was all she had. Do you see how he levels the field? Do you see how some people say, well, what, he wants them to give, all the rich want them to give everything they got? Is that what he wants? You know, they won't have anything? Well, let me tell you, because the abundance life, the abundant living, it's very difficult for you to get yourself back down to the level playing field because you don't want to go back to poverty. But this is what he demands of us. If he asks you to, would you trust him enough that you can give everything and he'd give it back to you? That's the thing. If he asked of you. That's why he said it's hard for a rich man to enter in, because once they start getting a lot, they don't have dependency on God no more. Their dependency in their heart is now what they have, and that's what they focus on, and they got more, and it's got to be more, and it runs away on them. It really does. It just runs. It ain't enough. And it's so bad, whatever you have, they almost want that too. That's terrible. And he knows that that's not a good spot. You got to be careful. But can you have stuff and be like the widow? Absolutely. Absolutely. Listen, it was at least three times in my life since I was married. Three times in my life since I was married that the Lord required, well, more than that. Four times, for sure. And little times in between, but four times the Lord required me to give everything, everything. You understand that? Everything. So you go to your bank account, you count exactly how much is in there, and you write a check for all of it, and you say, here, Lord, this is what you require. At least four times has happened to me since I was married. Do I say that so you can do that? No, you don't do anything unless the Lord directs you. He directed me, directed my wife. We have to make a decision. Lord, what are we going to do? Well, that was for me. That was something he wanted me to understand, that I can trust him and he'll provide it back over and over and over and over again. He's done it every time. So you think now that if he asked me that I would hesitate? Why would I hesitate? Does it mean in the intermediate time, in between, does it mean you're going to have less? Well, absolutely you will. But that's the time. What are you going to do? You got nothing to look after, nothing to take care of, and nothing to count. Now you got more time. You can just go to the Lord and say, God, I just want to thank you. Hey, I'm following you. If that's what you require of me, that's fine. But I want to just let you know, I love you with everything that's in me. It's not the amount that he's requiring of you. It's your willingness to obey. That's what it is. It's just obey me. Trust me. And that's not an easy time. Does that mean God's going to do that for everybody? Maybe not in that the way he did it for me. I needed that because I was not learning the lesson. Maybe it's something different with you. Maybe it's just your time. Adjustment of time. It could be a number of things. But I'd make sure to check that. So, did she give everything? That's what he said. She gave it all. Well, that's easy to give two pennies. Who wants two pennies? Well, the widow woman. That means, guess what? That means tomorrow she don't eat. Do you understand that? Tomorrow she don't have nothing to pay her bill. Do you understand? To her. That's what it meant. But she knew one thing. I'm a trust God. Right? The widow woman picking up the sticks. Got a little oil. Got a little meal. We're going to bake this last cake. We're going to eat it and die. That's what we got. That's our future. We'll make it for me first. What? Are you serious? Yeah, you just do it. Well, she went in there and did exactly what she was asked. And then she went back to the all, back to the meal, and made another cake. And she kept doing it, and kept doing it, and kept doing it, and kept doing it, and never went dry. So it's not easy to get on that side of the flow of God. But you're going to pick one of them. You're going to be on Mount Ebal or Mount Gerizim. One of them. You're going to eat from the tree of life, or the tree of knowledge of good and evil, which represents Amalek, the all-seeing eye, the enlightened one. Does this make sense to everybody? It all ties together. In all of these Torah portions, they're so full of wonderful things. And of course, the next reading, the crucifixion, right? Yeshua's death, he dies, he's buried. All of this is wonderful stuff. We look at it. But listen, let me just read that latter part. There's so many things in this resurrection one I wanted to cover, but I can't. We can't cover it all. But this is one of the things that amazes me. Verse 50. Now there was a man named Joseph from a Jewish town, Arimathea. He was a member of the council, a good and righteous man, who hath not consented to their decisions and actions. When you read stuff like that, that'll make you want to shout right there. He wasn't doing it because he was trying to be somebody. He was doing it because he didn't do what they did. When he came in, it was laid before him. Y'all go to Ebal. I'm going over here. I want the blessing. I'm going to read it again. You ready for this? Who hath not consented to their decisions and actions? And he was looking for the kingdom of Elohim. How many see that? When you come in. So yeah, is he the guy that we get to read about who got the tomb, who said, give me it? He had favor. Because what do? When you do right decisions, you're going to have favor. He can go to the officials and say, give me the body. And give him the body. It's all by God's design. But it wouldn't have been Joseph. It would have been somebody else if he would have made the wrong decision, consent to their decisions. He didn't care. Listen, I'm going to tell you this. He was part of the council. If you need some time, want some stuff to study, I'm giving you all kind of little nuggets. You can go study. He was part of the council. He was in there. He heard all of the stories, we ain't believing that. He was there. Y'all go ahead and believe what you're saying. He ain't the Messiah. And he ain't. Go on. I'm looking for the kingdom. I'm not going to side with the majority. I'm going to step away from that. Did he have money? Yes. See that? Did he care about his money? No, because if he cared about his money, politically, he was making the wrong decisions. Because if you don't stay in the clique, they'll cut you off. Cut me off if you want. That's okay. I got my sight on the kingdom. Do you get that? Man, it makes you want to shout. These little things in here. So why the Torah portions are set the way they are? Could you see anything that I've done so far that's not connected? They're all connected. That's why the portions are done for us. Acts 7. Huh. I want to do every verse. Right? Every verse you could do. Let me cover this part right here. In Acts 7, there was a right. But let's start verse 48. Yet the Most High does not dwell in houses made by hands, as the prophet says. Heaven is my throne, the earth is my footstool. What kind of house will you build for me, says the Lord? Or what is the place of my rest? Did not my hands make all these things? You stiff-necked people, uncircumcised in heart and ear, you always resist Holy Spirit. As your fathers did, so do you. Which of the prophets did your fathers not persecute? They killed those who announced beforehand the coming of the righteous one. Whom you have not betrayed and murdered. You who received the law as delivered by angels and did not keep it. He laid it out. I could not have given it to you any better than I gave it. I could have not made it more clear than I gave it. I set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. By the way, choose life. And he's laying it out. I can't give it to you any plainer. Wow. Paul in Rome. Another one. What amazing stuff we see here with Paul in Rome. And I'm going to just point out the latter part of it. Because I think this is important. And again, I can do it all. So many wonderful things. But he said, therefore, let it be known. Let it be known. First of all, in the beginning part in 26, and go to this people and say, you will indeed hear, but never understand. You will indeed see, but never perceive. And he makes that mention of that. But in verse 28, therefore, let it be known to you that this salvation of Elohim has been sent to the Gentiles. They will listen. They will listen. He lived there 2 whole years at his own expense. This is Paul. He lived there 2 whole years and welcomed all who came to him. And what was he doing? Proclaiming the kingdom of Elohim and teaching about the Lord Yeshua HaMashiach with all boldness, without hindrance. And so he was, again, do the top part. There's so much going on in the top part, but I don't have the time tonight to cover it. In Romans 11, one of the things that it needs to be understood, it starts in verse 17. But if some of the branches were broken off, and you, although a wild olive shoot, were grafted in among the others. Notice who's grafted in. Everybody say, I'm a wild olive shoot. Remember that. You're not part of the original. Not part of the original. That's why I don't understand what Christianity did when Christianity takes off, and through all of this pagan philosophy and Greek understanding, it became an entity of itself and says, them poor Jews, you know, unless they become a Christian, what, a wild olive tree? You see? But he said, remember what he says. And he goes on to tell us, although a wild olive shoot were grafted in among the others, and now sharing the nourishing root of the olive tree, do not be arrogant toward the branches. If you are, remember, it is not you who supports the root, but the roots that supports you. Then you will say, branches were broken off so that I might be grafted in. That is true. They were broken off because of their unbelief, but you stand fast through faith, so do not become proud, but fear. Have respect. For if Elohim did not spare the natural branch, neither will he spare you. Note then the kindness and severity of Elohim, the severity toward those who have fallen, but Elohim's kindness to you, provided that you continue in his kindness. What's the condition? Continue in his kindness. Otherwise, you too will be cut off. And even they, if they do not continue in their unbelief, will be what? Grafted in. For Elohim has the power to graft them in again. Hence, the lost sheep of Israel, the 10 tribes. Come back. Remember that? We covered that. That's what he's referring to. He has the power. For if you were cut from what is by nature a wild olive tree and grafted contrary to nature unto a cultivated olive tree, how much more will these, the natural branches, be grafted back into their own olive tree? It's a beautiful love story. Thank you, Father. Our God is amazing. Well, my prayer is, I hope that you enjoy a Torah portion. I hope that you see these wonderful things. I hope that it's exciting for you. Because the Word of God, all of it, you just can't get enough of it. So and tomorrow morning, I'm going to update everybody on our trip. And so I'll cover all that. If you did get a chance to get your buckets and get all that started, please do so. We need to go move pretty fast to get that aid over there. So I'll cover all that tomorrow. Well, God bless you. I love you. I thank God for all of you. Let's not forget service in the morning. You come expecting, believing God to do great things in your life. God bless.